Because there are so many halacha Moshe Messina's concerning the bits of sukkah, that the truth is we can really take a different one every year and not repeat ourselves for a couple of years. So I thought that this year we'll take one. We spoke a little bit about, touched on it, of course, in the past, but we'll try to focus the entire shiur on one particular halacha Moshe Messina. It starts out in the sukkah, branches out to Shabbos, and then potentially other areas of halacha, some very, very different areas of halacha, nothing else to do with the sukkah. And that is halacha Moshe Messina called Mavud. The Gemara tells us in a few places that there's Nimsa to Meshra Beinu and Sinai, this special halacha called Mavud, that when you're building mechitzos, so the mechitzos, the parts of the mechitzos don't really have to touch one another. Whatever's within a little bit less than three tvach, within three tvach of each other, so that's considered to be mechuba yachad. What are the ramifications of that halacha or Sinai? So we'll start a little bit of chasukah and then we'll try to spread out a little bit. So one area in the sukkah where this becomes relevant is a mishnah that appears in the first paragraph of Masechet Sukkah, which is actually building off of a different halacha Moshe Messinai. The mishnah quotes a machlekes ha-terayim about the following kind of a wall in a sukkah. So the person builds a wall, but the mechitza is what's called the mechitza tluya. The mechitza doesn't touch the ground. It's kind of hanging, you know, suspended. You put up a pole and you hang it down a curtain or something. So the mechitza is hanging down, but the mechitza happens to be length of 10 tefachim. So one could argue that maybe that mechitza would be good. That's a little bit startling. How could anyone argue that that mechitza should be good? Isn't it obvious that the mechitza has to touch the ground? Isn't that the midst of the pshita? The Gemara quotes one Tana and says, no, it's not all pshita. It's not necessarily true. That one Tana says that maybe we can apply the following. There is a halacha in Hilchos Mechitzas. When you build a mechitza, so once you build a mechitza that's 10 tefachim tall, we make believe as if it goes all the way up the Shemayim. It's in a mashal. If I build a 10 tefachim mechitza for a sukkah, and the schach is not directly on resting on top of the wall, it's suspended up a little bit, so the Gemara says, that's okay, that's halacha Moshe Messina, that the wall goes what's called good asik, the wall continues to go up. So once a wall has been established, you keep on going up as far as we want it to go up. So one Tana says, what goes up can come down also. So part of that halacha Moshe Messina also is that once you have an established mechitza, so then it's 10 tefachim tall, so we can make believe as if it's hitting the ground. So the Gemara says, no, we don't paskin like that. We paskin that you don't really say good achas b'chitz, at least in this application. Why is that? What's the difference? So the Gemara, not 100% clear what the problem with this is. So in one place, the Gemara seems to say that the reason why a b'chitzah tluy is not acceptable is because it's b'chitzah shagidiyim b'ikim ba. That how did it serve as a mechitza? The whole goal, the whole purpose of mechitza is to serve as a break, to serve as a separation, to serve as like you're building a building. Here the gedim, the goats, can just sneak themselves right under the area. So it's such a big break, so a goat can walk chatzia right through your mechitza. That's a very, very shvacha mechitza. That's called the mechitza gedim boikim ba. So Gemara says that, however, even though that's a mechitza, we paskin that a mechitza gedim boikim ba is no good, but if the mechitza comes within three tefachim of the ground, then it's okay, either because the gedim aren't too big, or because that's the halacha of Shtinah, whatever the reason for that is. But the bottom line is that, if anyone wants to open the window or something, I think we can, I'm not in charge of climate control after Yom Kippur, I don't know who's officially in charge of that. So if you guys want it, if you don't want it, don't have to. I guess it's just the Eish of Torah is just so. So comes the, no, you don't have to, whatever you want. So comes the Mishnah and says that even though we paskin that a mechitza tluya is not acceptable for a sukkah, but if the mechitza comes within three tvachim of the ground, so then it's going to be acceptable. And that's partially discovered by this halacha Moshe Messinai. I didn't mean to start a whole I will do air conditioning even better. Okay. We can close all the windows now, we just have the air conditioning just turned on. Okay. Awesome. You thought your job, Josh, you thought your job was over. You thought your job was never done. So the bottom line is this halacha Moshe Messinai is now very, very helpful. Because if not for this halacha Moshe Messinai, if you had a wall that wasn't literally mamish to the ground, the entire sukkah would be possible. So comes halacha Moshe Messinai and says that as long as you're within three tefachim, that's going to be okay. So that's one place where we invoke the sugya of three tefachim as being a significant shear in terms of love. There is another area in halacha where we also apply the principle of love when it comes to the sukkah. And that's also in terms of the walls of the sukkah. So we know that any mechitza in halacha has to be 10 tefachim tall. That's also halacha Rosh Hashanah, that a mechitza, bare minimum mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall. So what if your mechitza is not exactly 10 tefachim tall? What if it's half an inch tall? But then it's another half an inch tall. And then it's another half an inch tall. But you have these big gaps, big breaks of airspace in between the parts of the mechitza. So the simple pshat in the halacha is as follows. The Mishnah tells us in the Maseches Eruvin, you could theoretically build an Eruv that way. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos and Eruvin, you have to also surround an area with mechitzas of 10 tefachim tall. So the Mishnah says, Kifa Bechavolim, that it doesn't have to be a solid brick wall. It doesn't have to be a solid piece of wood. You can have a string, and you can have a little bit of a break, less than 3 tefachim, another string, a little break, right? As long as you eventually reach the 10 tefachim, as long as there was no more than 3 tefachim between each one of those strings, that's, again, the Halach Mosh Sinai of Lava kicks in. So the Gemara says that, the Mishnah says that explicitly in Hilchos Eruvin, Maseches Eruvin, and the Pashup Shad is that carries over to Sukkah as well. That's, I say, the Pashup Shad, there's Chazanish questions whether that's 100% correct. But the Mishnah Berurah assumes that's a Dov Nosa the Pshita, that you can apply the principle of Lavud in terms of making walls of a Sukkah. There is a Magen Avram that has a complicated cheshbon based on a sugi in the end of the first Bechel Maseches Eruvin, with Magen Avram claims that from Mezim and Mamurim, you could build Sukkah walls in such a bizarre way, just basing itself on Halach Mosh Sinai of Lavud, that's only if you have 4 walls. If you just have 3 walls, so somehow that doesn't work. Why that should be so, that's already beyond the scope right now. Not everyone agrees it is so, but that's a statement of the Magen Avram. So it's that Magen Avram that's caused the whole havoc in terms of people trying to build sukkahs with zmanas. We spoke about this many, many times, that the flapping sukkahs, the sukkahs that blow in the wind, the canvas sukkahs, so there is a question about them, because the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah that a mechitz has to be Yechol Olam Baruch Mitzuya. It has to be able to be withstand a normal type of a wind. So there was a machlekes in the Gedolei Poskim, probably machlekes in Mishnah already, as to what exactly that phrase means. It has to be Yechol Olam Baruch Mitzuya. So many Poskim assume that means it has to be stationary. It means if it's flapping, it's moving in the wind, that's called Ein Yechol Olam, and that's a questionable mechitza. And Chazanish claims that that's not correct. Chazanish claims, based on the Ritva, that Yeni Yechol Laman means that the mechitza has to be able to stand up. If it falls down in the wind, that's a problem. As long as it doesn't fall down, it's just moving, flapping, but the vice, it's always there, it's always standing up. So the Chazanish says such a mechitza would be acceptable. So according to those who don't want to follow this Chazanish, those who are more machmer, and they want to be chayshish, that a mechitza should not move at all, so then some of the canvas sukkahs pose a little bit of a challenge, because the canvas sukkahs usually do blow in the wind. So when Nato was suggested already years ago that maybe we could salvage the canvas sukkahs, the choladeyas, by putting in the called the famous Lovett straps or Lovett strings. So in addition to the canvas, the yes is ace, just in case the canvas is moving too much, or maybe it's a shayla, so if you put in those strings and those straps, and you have one string that goes 2.5 tefachim off the ground, and then another 2.5 tefachim, another 2.5, so as long as you have a bunch of strings that make it to the point of 10 tefachim, so invoking this halach Moshe Sinai of Lavud, that would be okay. So the only catch on that is that this Magen Avram, that the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Magen Avram, that when you're building a sukkah based on Lavud, you should try to be machmir to have all 4 sides of strings. So that's a little bit of a logistical nightmare, because if you put strings on all 4 sides, then you have to like jump rope to get, you have to try to join the gedim on the bottom, try to get underneath in the ropes. So obviously you're not going to put strings on the 4th side entirely. So maybe what you should do is, you should put strings around 3 of the sides, and then the 4th side, put strings 7 tefachim. Okay, so you have to figure out Nate how to do that. Make a board or strings or something on the 4th side, because that's the bare minimum size of a sukkah anyway. So that's the halakha equivalent of having strings on all 4 sides. And that's an Nate that a lot of people do. But again, this whole thing started because of this halakha Rosh Hashanah. So we have this halakha Rosh Hashanah that Lavud is acceptable, pashtus to create the mechitza of a sukkah. You have this chumra of the Magen Avraham based on the Tosfos and Eruvin that maybe it doesn't work for all 4. And if you want to try to pull together this kunst to be chayshesh for the machmirim, so that's what you're
right to do. Sure,
yeah.
You don't need.
So we have so far 2 different applications of the principle of 3 tefachim. The magic number helps us in terms of that the sukkah and walls don't have to touch literally the ground. And number 2, it also helps us that you can actually create the walls through the vehicle of Lavud as well. When you get higher up into the sukkah, so now you get to the tzach, so Lavud is going to come and help us as well. There is a din that you have to have a connection between the walls and tzchach. Again, the wall over here, So you can't start the schach 20 feet away from the walls. There has to be a tzirah between the schach and the walls. How much of a tzirah does there have to be? So here the Mishnah tells us that you can't have more than 3 tvachim. If there's a 3 tvachim break before the schach begins, so that's going to pose a problem. If you have schach, that's schach posel, that's a whole other story. That's a whole different halacha. But if you don't have schach posel, you simply have airspace, and there's a break of airspace between where the wall starts and where the schach starts, that's a huge problem. So if you have less than 3 tvachim, that's perfectly okay. So that's b'kosh l'chachila, that's also uncovered by the halacha Moshe Sinai of Lovah. The same way that we say that airspaces that are less than 3 tvachim between the walls and the schach don't concern us, so too, let's say I already have a sukkah, but I have a little airspace in the middle, a little break, some of the piece of bamboo fell down or something. So I have these little pachas, little holes of airspace. So the Mishnah says that as long as the airspace is less than 3 tvachim, so it doesn't disqualify the sukkah. The only thing is that the Mishnah says, even though if it's less than 3 tvachim, it doesn't disqualify the sukkah, you're not supposed to sit under that airspace. If you're sitting under the airspace, so you're sitting in the air, you're not sitting in the sukkah. So what does that mean? So the Ramah writes that every sukkah has airspace. So branches, so of course there could be little pockets, little small breaks in between the schach. So the Ramah says, what it means is as follows, if you have an airspace that's so big that either you can stick your head into it, because your head is less than 3 tvachim, you can stick your head into it, or it goes up and they call a sukkah. If it goes across the entire sukkah, if you have an airspace that goes entirely across the sukkah, so then ein yishem tachtav, ein yishem tachtav, even though it's less than 3 tvachim. So it's for this reason that some people are not bid that they throw one or two pieces of bamboo going the other direction. Because if you have a piece of bamboo going the other direction, so then a branch or something going the other direction, so then you're never going to have anything that's going to be holding up in the obvious. That's the source for that chumrah. So the bottom line is that this 3 tefachim is a very, very helpful thing. It helps us in terms of connecting the walls to the ground. It helps us in terms of creating the walls itself. It helps us in terms of when you have a break between the walls and the beginning of the schach. And it helps us in the schach itself when you have breaks. We were just talking about airspace. We weren't even talking about schach posel. Schach posel is a whole other ballgame. That's a whole other set of halachas, different sets of shiurim. So these basic halachas are the halachas that govern Hilchas Sukkah. So this idea that lovud is very, very helpful in Hilchas Sukkah, this is not unique to Hilchas Sukkah. This is true in other areas where you require mechitzus as well. So the most common area of halacha besides sukkah we require mechitzus is in Hilchas Shabbos. So it's the same story. The Mishnah tells us that if you have a mechitza teluya in Masechet Shabbos, let's say you're trying to encircle an area to make it into a shusayoch to be able to carry there, so you have to surround the area with mechitzas, with walls. So what if I have a wall that's hanging from the wind, hanging in a pole or something, it doesn't hit to the ground, that's called mechitza teluya. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah quotes the Machlokes Tanoim. One Tana says that's kosher, the other Tana says it's no good, and we paskin that's no good. Unless it's within 3 tvachim. If it's within 3 tvachim of the ground, then for sure it's going to be good. So this becomes very, very helpful for us, not so much in terms of walls for mechitzas, it becomes very helpful for us in terms of Erevin, because the Pasha Pshan Daloch is that the same way that a wall for Shusayochid has to be within 3 tvachim, as long as it's within 3 tvachim, it's okay. The same should be true for a Turas HaPesach. The first Mishnah in Maseches Erevin tells us that sometimes when the halacha requires a wall, so you don't have to have an actual wall, like a solid cement wall, but you could do is you take another pole, you throw a beam, you throw a vine, you throw a string, you throw a fishing line, something above the top, that's what's called Tzuras HaPesach. So the Mishnah Masechet Erevin and the base already talks about the institution of Tzuras HaPesach. It's interesting, the Gemara never says where this idea comes from. We restate this idea of Tzuras HaPesach. So the Chazanish claims it must be halacha Moshe Sinai, because the Gemara says that most of the dinim of mechitzas are halacha Moshe Sinai, and the Gemara never identifies what the actual source of this Pesach is. It must be part of that halacha Moshe Sinai. This was coming from Moshe Rabbeinu, this idea that when you build mechitzas, so then you can suffice, instead of a regular mechitza, you can suffice with a Tzuras HaPesach. So the same way that we have in Hilchas Sukkah, that a mechitza tluya is no good, but if it's within 3 tefachim with the ground, it's okay. The same that we have in terms of a wall for Chaz Erevin, if it's a mechitza tluya, it's no good, but if it's within 3 tvachim, it's okay. So too, when it comes to the poles, which is a pesach, the halacha should probably be the same thing. That when I build a pole, a kan, so I should try to make it that it reaches the ground. If it doesn't reach the ground, that's not the end of the world. As long as it's within 3 tvachim, that's the simple pshat in the halacha. this becomes helpful because every once in a while, when we build Erevin, so we build, usually we use telephone poles, but most of the time, the wires, very often the wires is not situated properly because the din is when you build the Tzuris HaPesach, so the top wire has to go over the pole. It can't go beside the pole. So next time you're walking around and nothing else to do with your time, so study telephone poles. So some telephone poles are constructed properly, that they had as they had us in mind. Another telephone pole, so the lachas that they put the wires on the underside of the pole. So whenever there's a pole with a wire on the side, it's not going to be good for an Eruv. So what you have to do is you have to connect another pole. You have to take a piece of wood and bang it into the it's a wood or plastic or something. You have to bang it into the telephone pole, and that becomes your new corner. That becomes your new pole. And then you have to make sure that the wire is either literally touching or it's at least directly above it. So the problem is that when you have these like makeshift poles, so telephone poles generally don't disappear unless the phone company takes them away. And the bottom of the telephone pole is not going to rot. If the bottom of the telephone pole rots, then the whole pole is going to fall down. What does happen though, when we put wood, so now Baruch Hashem, we've already moved up high tech. Now nobody uses wood anymore. That was like 30 years ago. Now they use plastic. But in the old days, they used to use wood. And very often, the bottom of the piece of wood would rot away, or somebody would smash their car into the telephone pole, or something would knock out half the wood. So very often, the bottom of the lechi wasn't there anymore. So that could potentially invalidate the entire Eruv. So that's the bad news. The good news is that sometimes it's wooden tree tfach. As long as it's wooden tree tfach on the ground, so then it's probably going to be okay anyway. That's the simple pshat. I keep on saying it's simple pshat because not everyone agrees to that, but that's the partial pshat in the halacha. So we do have this idea of lavud that helps us in chasukah, and helps us in mechitzat Shabbos, and helps us in hilchas tzuras HaPesach as well. Does this halacha b'shina that was originally given to us in chasukah, does this branch out to other areas of halacha or not? So there is a very, very difficult sheet, it's Rashi, that could potentially have enough convenience for Hilchas, the younger Sukkah, not for Sukkah, but actually for Dalaminim. Rashi has a comment that in Hilchas Kinyonim, when you want to require something, as much you want to require Dalaminim, so you want Dalaminim to be Lachem, so you do a Hagbah and you're Dalaminim. So Rashi says, what's called a Magbiyah, what's called a Hagbah for Dalaminim? So what's called a Magbah for anything? Kol Terekul, you want to require something, so you have to make a Kinyon Hagbah. So Rashi says, you have to pick it up three Tvachim. Because if you don't pick it up to the tefachim, then it's still like mechubal lekarka. It's still like it's connected to the ground. So you didn't really do anything. So that's not considered to be a kinyan hagbah. So it's not really technically considered to be lachem. So the guy's sitting on the floor. Just someone gives him a matana for the dal minim, and they hand it over to be sitting on the floor, and he's with him three tefachim on the ground. So then he may not be yaitzid mitzvah unless he's cut it with the kinyan yad, which is a whole other story. If you have something inside your hand, depends how big your esrog is. The esrog is very, very big, good fat. Big Tamani Esrog, it shoots out of your hand. So that's not a kinyan. Kinyan is only what's mamash inside your hand or directly above your hand. So this part of the item is outside your hand. Maybe you have to be kind of with the kinyan hagbah. According to Rashi, kinyan hagbah requires three tefachim. So Taisus has a lot of problems with this Rashi. Taisus says, like, Taisus, what is kinyan hagbah to building a sukkah? He said, building a sukkah is a special halacha Moshe Mesinai in Hilchas Bechitzis, that anything that's willing to be tefachim, so the Bechitzis is considered to be mechubi yachad. So the mechitzah is mechubah to the karka, and the schach is mechubah to the doifet, and the breaks of the schach are all considered to be mechubah yachad. And in Hilchas Erevin, it's all considered to be the same mechitzah. And in Hilchas Yosef Pesach, with Pashas, the poles, considered to be part of the ground. So as we've been told, all of those halachas with the Shia Chesach appears in Chazal has something to do with walls. We're going to do it with the fun. We're going to do it in Hilchas Mechitzahs. That where in the world, where does it say such a halacha that anything that's willing to be tefachim is considered to be mechuba yachad outside of the realm of hilchas sukkah, eruv, and mechitzas? So Rebbe Tam says that taka is no, there is no shia gimel tefachim. So how much is a hagbah according to Rebbe Tam? So maybe a tefach, that's a mishnah in a second eruv, in a different context. Maybe a tefach is a shia, maybe if it's less than a tefach, it's not even do it, and budget, and do anything. But the arbitrary number of three tevachim, so that lechayra doesn't make any sense, says Rabbi Natan. So that idea that Rashi took the shear of three tevachim and plugged it into a different area of halacha that is mamash zero, mamash nothing whatsoever to do with hilchas sukkah, with hilchas erev, sepesach, is not a tremendous chiddush. But that idea we do find in other rishonim and in lagamai, also a different area of halacha. If I would have had more time before Ne'ilah today, I would have continued the halachic part of the shiur. So I made a quick reference. Two out of the three tents heard me for two out of three minyan. One shul, one tent heard me before Ne'ilah. So we were talking for those who were in the other tent, so we were down here, fill you in quickly. So b'kitzah nimrat, we talked about the koyach of rain in the end of the yom. So we spoke about how you can look at a puddle, and then all of a sudden it goes up, it evaporates, goes up to the clouds, it becomes all purified, it comes clean, and everything comes down beautiful and clean. And how did it happen? I'm sure Nes Nigla, that water goes up to the, loses all the impurities along the way. That's what we're supposed to do. But if you had Hashem Anan, if Baruch Hu is Metaris Ba'anan, we go into the Anan Hashem, and all of a sudden all that tumas get left behind. So I made a very, very quick reference to Hilchos Mikvos, that there's a din, if you have water that's possible to the mikvah, it was, let's say, you have water in a cup, so it's mayim she'uvim, so you can't use that water to fill up a mikvah. That water has to become kosher, so there are different ways for that water to become kosher. So the most extreme way for the water to become kosher is if it evaporates. Let's say, if I would leave this cup of water outside, I imagine after some time it would probably evaporate, the water would go up to Shemayim, and then it would go flying around, those clouds would go flying somewhere, and it would probably fill up a mikvah somewhere in, I don't know, the middle of Arizona, whatever. Arizona probably doesn't rain too much. Okay, middle of a good place, was it rain?
Chicago.
Okay. So it fills up the mikvah in Chicago, so you don't say, oh, Sobolovsky's water, oh, wait a second, we can't use this water, because this water came from a cup in Bergenfield, that's no good. So nobody's isotoping the raindrops. It doesn't make a difference. The din is once it goes up to Shemayim, so it becomes kosher again. So there's a parallel kind of halacha in Hilchos Mikvos. It doesn't have to go so dramatic. It doesn't have to go all the way up to Shemayim. It can actually run along the ground. So there's a din that if you take water, Mayim Shuvim, take water in a cup, water in the sink, water in a hose out of the faucet, and you run it along the ground for a little while, so then that water loses its status in Mayim Shuvim. And that hocus pocus, so that mikveh now becomes kosher. That's what's called in halacha hamshacha. So there is a big machlokes in Rishonim. How long does hamshacha have to take place? What is there a shia b'dover? So the Mishnayos talk about hamshacha. The Gemara talks about hamshacha, and it's not clear how distance. What's the distance of this hamshacha? So there's one opinion in Rishonim that says that hamshacha has to take place for three tefachim. Mayai, three tefachim. So it's loy dach b'chasukah. The same way that in Hilchos Sukkah we say that the wall that's connected to the ground, less than three tefachim, is mamash mechubi yachad, there's no break, and there's chach, there's no break. So all the halachas of love that help you, so to wait a second, here the halach of love is going to hurt you. Because if I take water and I just run it along the ground for 2.5 tefachim, so I didn't do anything. So it hasn't moved yet, it's still where it was. So that's the whole hamshach hasabayim. It's got to go a minimum of three tefachim. If the water travels three tefachim, so that's considered to be a hamshach. And other rishonim that have the kasha against that risho, the same kasha that Tosfos the Brit Hamas against Rashi. What does the work do with anything? He says the din of love is halacha seen when you're building walls, when you're building a sukkah, you're building an eruv, you're building just a pesach. That's what the din, the Moshe Rabbeinu was said, that the din of love. In Kol HaTorah Kula, two things are connected because they're less than three tefachim. My two hands are one because they wouldn't be tefachim. So there is no such din. So how much hamshacha do you need? So what's the shi hamshacha? It's not three tefachim. What did Hashem say? Kol shu, hamshich, mayshich the water. The water went a little bit and they're short. So how do you understand that? It's a very, very strange machlekes in Rishonim, in Hilchos Mikvos. That some of the Rishonim say you need a hamshacha of three tefachim, and other Rishonim say, nah, just a hamshacha, one tefach is good enough. So the Pesukei Rav has in Maseches Temura, has a famous biur, where he explains that it's based as follows. It's not clear what the goal of hamshacha is. They have this is the follow-up of the biur of Rosh. So I have this water that's possible. I have this trace, this possible water, this mayim shuvim, and now I have this hocus pocus in halacha called hamshacha, and we have to retire the water. How exactly does that work? So there are one of two ways of understanding that. The way to understand is that the whole idea of Mayim She'uvim is that when the water comes from the kli into the mikvah, so that's a problem. Here, the water didn't come from the kli into the mikvah. That posel, the posel of Mayim She'uvim, is havayah, so as a mikvah, the creation of the mikvah through a kli is a problem. But here, it didn't come through the kli because there was a break. There was a big, big breach. There was a tremendous break between the two. So here the Rishonim are looking at the Dimur Hamshacha through the eyes of breaks. You have to have an interruption. You have to have a hefsek. Oh, what's the Shia hefsek? So So they start with chocolates and hefsek. That's like a chasukah. The same way, you're not allowed to have a hefsek between the mechitzas and the wall, and the floor. You're not allowed to have a hefsek between the sakh and the mechitzas. You can't have a hefsek between the terus pesach and the ground. All those dinim of hefsek, maybe they make sense. You extrapolate those dinim to the gvos as well. So as long as you created a hefsek between the kli and the mikvah, so that's good enough. And other Rishonim say, L'hoyud v'amein, Yisgirav says, that's not the chlazun, that's what Rav Shach is all about. Rav Shach is as follows. Rav Shach is the conclusion of the Nilad Rav Shach. Rav Shach means that the same way when the water goes all the way up to the clouds, that's a betaher. So there's another betaher as well. If you know enough about the water cycle, you'll understand that the water cycle is up and down. So the water seeps into the ground, and eventually it ends up in some stream somewhere, and then it ends up going to the river, and then it ends up in the ocean, and then it goes up to the clouds, and then it goes back down again. So there are two different parts of the water cycle that we're not really privy to. We just kept all the water in front of us. Sometimes the water goes up the Shemayim, and sometimes the water goes into the ground. So as long as the water goes either up to the clouds or down into the home, so that's a metara semayim. How much does it have to go in? It'll go shiur. We went for half a molecule. If you take a cup of water and you pour it into the mikvah, then you take a mamshub, then you're possibly in the mikvah. But if the water goes into the ground, so then that's good enough. So just since we're spending so much time talking about water and mikvahs, and man mikvah retires the man, because mikvah retires Israel, so if they had the last people tires. You know, there's a real halacha ma'aseh sukkah shiur. We end up talking about hamshacha and a mikvah. So there is a machlekes of Rishonim. When you do hamshacha, so does hamshacha have to have what's called karka ruah livloya? Does it have to have in ground that mamash absorbs the water, or can you make a very very nice tile and have the water just symbolically run along this tile, even though the water's not getting absorbed in? So the Brisk Rav says it's the same shaila. If you hold that hamshacha just to break up a chibur, so broke up the chibur. It's a hefsek. If you hold that hamshacha is to be retired the water, to get the water into the kishkas of the ground, so it's got to get into the kishkas of the ground. So that's what the Brisk Rav had a famous kula. So it's a Brisk Rav Maseches Tmura, and this Brisk Rav became a model, Poiskim quote this Lamanash Lamaisa, the following Shtikl Torah. Brisk Rav said, if that's the case, if you do a hamshacha of three tvachim, you don't need all three tvachim to be karka ruah livloya, if you think about it. Because if hamshacha is based on the water going into the kishkas of the ground, so even one mashil is enough. If it's based on hefsek, then you don't require karka haruah livloya. So says the Brisk Rav, you could do a very simple hamshacha. You could do a three tvachim hamshacha on beautiful clean tile that doesn't bring a drop of dirt and mud into the water. And then when nobody's looking, somewhere in the tile, there's a little that much of karka haruah livloya, and the mikvah is going to be kosher l'chol hadayah. So there are some mikvahs today, I'm not saying I'm mikvahs built that way, but there are some mikvahs today that are built on that halachic principle of mixing together that idea, combining together the Ne'ilat Rosh and the Matzoy Sukkos Shir as well. That either it's a din of creating a hefsek, and that's the idea of lachud, or it's a din of being mitaras hamayim, which means to get the water to go into the kishkas of the ground. So, b'echa yivcha, how you want to build your mikvah, but that's not for tonight. The mitzvah yoyim is the mitzvah of Asiyas HaSukkah. So, Baruch Hashem, we're zoichet at least see one of the Halach Moshe Sinai, a little bit of a flavor as to where this Halach Moshe Sinai of Lavud, it starts with the Sukkah, extends to Erev and Shabbat, etc., and may or may not have implications in terms of Kinyanim and Mikvahs as well. My pleasure. Thank you.